love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Well, what a surprise. By the way, I got a postcard. This was actually Saturday. Over 100 people have seen me shout from the top of a mountain, "Dorothy Jane, I love you." Has anyone in my family, "I love you, I love you, you're my love, you're man." I have really sloppy handwriting. But, you know, obviously. Anyway. It has been really interesting. I did write an email back to, I'm in a dialogue. And one of the things that, again, I want to set an example for my kids, because I'm hoping one of my kids will kind of follow on the model of his dad striving to be obedient to Christ and to love others, even when he's clumsy. And am I clumsy? Anyway, but one of the things when I wrote my email today is trying to put together what's happened with, you know, when you look at the Sound of Freedom video, when it does seem that there are some issues there, in the sense that, I see somebody doing self-promotion and rah-rah, let's form this big organization and be really inefficient. And the reason this is important is because this is the whole point. You know, Shofar Leaks was not originally specifically for the sex trade. You know, Shofar Leaks is based on, you know, the term came from WikiLeaks. Obviously, had Shofar Nexus and so forth. But WikiLeaks and then Shofar Leaks, and as I've mentioned, I had it in 2012. Had some connections in Europe and so forth. Didn't gain traction. I let it go because I figured that wasn't me. It was too many things on the table. And then the weekend after, when Julian Assange was forcibly removed from the Ecuadorian embassy in London, I reacquired Shofar Leaks, stayed dormant until basically this year. And the reason is, when I look at the technique that I have within Shofar Nexus and to communicate and things of that nature, I do think I would rather do the Shofar Book Project. But Shofar Leaks is based on my own personal experience. And I wanted to say, all right, these are the things I've learned. I made a whole bunch of mistakes as a whistleblower, a whole bunch of mistakes. And as I described, before, during, and after the event. And, I think in a lot of cases, with probably most people, the price they pay is their own mistakes, not the impact from others. That may or may not be true. But it seems quite rational, at least in a lot of people's cases. That's probably true. But what I looked at is the analogy. When I looked at Shofar Leaks, and you know clearly I have the relationship with slavery. The two go together, but clearly I can't address with my technology the things like the cocoa slavery. I've mentioned it, but it's not something I can address. Sex slavery is abundantly clear. I can address that. So when you put together the distributed storage model and addressing sexual slavery in its various forms, you know, which includes organ harvesting, the satanic stuff, and all sorts of things. When you put that all together, there is the two fronts. One is the economic model with the distributed storage. So, because one of the conversations I had today, you know, I asked Chris, tell me where I'm wrong. Give me, you know, be the serious critic, because as a friend, I can take the criticism from him. And, you know, we discussed, went back and forth on the economic model. Why would somebody have a drive for that versus the, what, you know, generally you may say the ministry model? Why would you have a drive for that? And is there a conflict or whatnot? You know, we discussed Paul, the tent maker, those kind of things. And because my attitude is, if I found somebody who says, yes, I look at the distributed storage model, again, just using the numbers from Dropbox, because they are, that's solely their focus, $2 billion a year. I think if we grabbed a percentage of that, this is a big business. So if I can find somebody who says, yes, I see that potential, I understand it'll take however long to do it. It may take some investment of upfront capital in order to, well, you know, keep me fed and things of those kind of things. But I want to see this happen. If I find somebody to do that and their sole purpose is money, would I work with them? And I think the answer is clearly yes. Because if I can get the distributed storage model up there, then suddenly Shofar Leaks is a freebie project. It's standalone. There is no donation model or anything of that nature. I don't have to make a movie. It's done. It's self-sustaining. It doesn't need me anymore. And that's the goal. So I've been struggling on that. And again, one of the issues is I need somebody else to do that, just to push that. It takes too much time, way too much time. But the other aspect was, from my experience, what I see in a collective, people will say, you know, we have this group and we're making mostly an economic benefit for being part of this group. And because of that, we want to promote the group. We don't want to do anything to distract from the group. We want the group to grow and sustain itself. So, you know, the obvious example, because it's directly what I participated in, is if you do something that would shrink the group, you're the enemy of the group simply because the person who may get shrunk and, you know, removed from that group is kind of saying, I don't want to lose my position, especially if it's a high-paying job. Therefore, you become their enemy. So unless there's somebody to do in that group that would do that, the whistleblower, you end up with the group growing. And looking the other way when there are things that are a problem. And my supposition is, once you start looking the other way on the economic model, as this process grows, you start looking the other way on things that are more serious. And one of the things I described, you start looking the other way when it comes to things as serious as murder or sexual indiscretions. Because I can't address that, because otherwise it impacts me, my job maybe, and I don't want to go there. And it's even worse if I'm participating in some of these things. So that is a big deal. And you know, the obvious example is what I've been through. But the other thing is there are some other things. But the other thing is I did mention is it Niles Melzer, who was the UN Special Rapporteur on torture. Apparently, he finished that job last year. You know, what a job. I mean, my goodness. But I'm going to leave you a clip from him, because what he says, I think is a clear statement of the issue. Because he was specifically talking about Julian Assange. Why is he in prison? I mean, it's completely irrational. I mean, he's in prison under no charge by the request of the U.S. government. And he's being tortured. Isolation is torture. And it's been for years. So, we have this idea that you are charged with something, that you have a trial, and then you serve time, assuming you're convicted. In many cases, people serve time. You know, the January 6th thing is an example of that. People serve time while they're waiting for trial. And they serve, and they serve, and they serve. In the case of Julian Assange, it's been a whole lot of years. So you are convicted before you're tried, in essence. You know, and especially in the day we live, the idea of house arrest is so easy. So if somebody's saying, okay, we are concerned that you're a flight risk, for example. So what's done, and apparently it's done quite common, is these ankle bracelets that you wear and you can't take off. So you shower with it and everything. They always know where you are. But you have freedom to go home. You can't leave home without, permissions and so forth. But you can go home. There's no need to be, if the issue is a flight risk, there's no need to put you in prison. And of course, prison is not called for. It's traditions of man. It's not a commandment of God. But anyway, Melzer mentions the idea that the whole purpose behind Assange in prison is not to punish Assange. It's to warn others, whether they're going to be a potential whistleblower or they're going to be a reporter, and say, look, if you're one of the two, this is what's going to happen to you. Don't go here. Therefore, those in journalism, what you do is you become, if you become the presenter and whatnot, you need to present a good story, but you're reading a script. Just present it. It's the Sinclair. I'll try to leave the link. Dangerous for a democracy, whatever. And they had everybody across the nation repeating the same script, because major media is, it's the Mockingbird Press, and it's called that again because of Operation Mockingbird, where the CIA infiltrated the news media. And you think that isn't that way anymore? Yeah, all right. But so you can do well if you fall in line, but if you're suggested, like there's the term investigative journalist, in other words, someone who says, I'm going to look into this issue. And in doing that, I may find things that would be uncomfortable, especially for those in power. The news media is frequently called the fourth estate, or the fourth branch of government, in the sense of it's kind of a regulatory aspect so that especially government agencies will not go astray. Because they're the watchdog. So if you have a watchdog, you put them on your leash, really. Which is the whole idea that I talked about, the controlled opposition. This is what is done. And if you're an investigative journalist, someone who's saying, I'm going to look into especially corruption, whether it's corporate or government, you're their enemy of the corporate or government entities. A lot of these people don't play fair. Ask Michael Hastings, or wait a minute, you can't, he's dead. Anyway, a bunch of these people, but you can't because they're dead. And, those that are dead, well, that's kind of gone. And they don't really leave as much of an impression as someone who is alive and in prison. So it's a constant warning. Do I want to be a journalist and expose things that my government won't like? Nah! I mean, that is the purpose behind that. Because it takes a backbone. And it seems that something is in the water or whatnot, because backbones seem to be in short supply. So anyway, I do want to address that, or I do want to present, make that case. But my fundamental issue is I need somebody else to do this. I did, take my hike today and so forth, and I really think I'm going to set this aside, this promotion stuff, unless something else comes up, and get back to software, because that's where I'm home. That's what I do. I don't do this. I don't want to do this other stuff. It takes too much time, and I don't think I'm the right person for this. I'm a B player. I need somebody who does it well. And it's been a problem. I am very grateful that I have a dialogue going. I've asked him, who is the person? You know, the one comment that was so important was made was the idea of, try to do a direct quote here. It was questioning whether or not the Operation Underground Railroad, they seem to be doing a good job. It seems to be good things and close with, or who else is really accomplishing this? I will ask you. And then, of course, I responded. You ask, who else is really accomplishing this? May I suggest Oleg Melnikov, the Yazidis community in northern Iraq, several other individuals in Iraq and Syria that I don't have names for. There is related Tong Phuc in Vietnam, who I have a great respect for. There is undoubtedly a much larger number of individuals and small groups doing this, but for some reason haven't garnered the attention of Glenn Beck. These are the people I want to support, and I stand on that firmly. And he did respond, I'm glad you pointed out those you did in the Middle East and Vietnam. There are people all over the place, and they're stifled. And sometimes they can do some. Again, Oleg Melnikov, 1,900 people freed, slaves. And a whole lot fewer people and a whole lot less money. But it takes a backbone. And what I want to do is just make it a bit easier for some. Open the door, give them the tools. Because, if it gets out to a bunch of people and most fail at it, that's unfortunate. But if some use the tools and succeed, praise the Lord. That's my goal. One of the symbols to me is when I did get a large check early in the year to do this. One of the things I did is I prepaid a whole bunch of things. And, I just got my electric bill today. And it shows that I have a balance of like $240-some or whatnot. So positive balance. So I'm paid ahead. So I'm fine there. Because a whole bunch of things were paid ahead. But that's coming to an end. And one of the symbols is, I bought a large bag of almonds. because I like almonds. And so I got some almonds, and I got them cheaper by getting a large bag. I got a small handful left. I mean, literally, a small handful. So it's a symbol to me. You know, I drink tea. Tea's coming to an end. It's kind of a symbol. It's run the course. Have I run the course? Is this over? Or will I be able to press on? I don't know. I do believe I can probably survive the rest of the month. And of course, rent's paid and whatnot. I don't know. I need a breakthrough. And is this a big deal? I want to set a model before my kids of someone who says, the Lord has placed something in front of you. Follow that. Don't do the Jonah thing. Oh, the Lord says go there. I'm going that way. Because the Lord is saying, I'm going to send a fish to get you. Skip the fish. Enjoy the fish. You know, fish is delicious, but skip the fish. You know, eat fish. Don't be in fish. But if the Lord sets something in front of you, what the Lord sets in front of you, pursue wholeheartedly. If it's easy, well, great, do it. If it's hard, do it. If it's costly, do it. If you never see success, but it's the right thing to do, do it anyway. I want to set that model before my kids. The isolation. You know, I did send my postcard to Eric Lee today, pointing out the censorship by Tim Mills, the harmonic atheist, and Google, the same, and my wife, the same, you know, the same. But I have a few dialogues going. Maybe I can press on. Maybe I will finally deliver this. Maybe I'll do it with allies. That'd be a joy. My lady, my wife, let's share with our kids what it is to strive to follow Christ as a flawed man or woman. Please, don't run and hide. Take my hand again, please. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.